Groundhog Day. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. New hybrids unveiled for lab-grown organs. Guess what? They're not going to be for you. We've got that story, plus the hotel that had its key cards hacked. But first, speculation grows. Assad suffered a stroke as Syria slams Trump's safe zone proposal. We grabbed this via Zero Hedge. Geopolitical pundits were caught by surprise when Trump told ABC he would absolutely do safe zones in Syria for the people, a statement that's been viewed as a precursor to further escalation of U.S. intervention in the region. They were just as surprised when Russian foreign minister said Moscow may support the U.S. initiative to establish so-called safe zones for refugees in Syria, but added that the plan would, however, require close cooperation with the United Nations and approval from Syrian President Bashar Assad's government. However, there is rampant speculation that Assad has basically been whacked in some way or taken out, and we've seen these speculations grow. James, it's interesting as we're even sort of thinking about this. A lot of, is Julian Assange alive? Where is Eric Braverman? A lot of these sort of mysteries we see playing out in the media. So all these rumors completely unsubstantiated. The death of Assad would sure to complicate any political resolution in Syria, as it would immediately prompt both sides in the proxy war to present their hand-picked candidates ahead of an election for the country's next president, as suddenly the political and not military process will become the pathway to decide who has veto rights over any potential Qatar gas pipelines crossing the nation and, of course, entering Europe. If so, expect Rexon Tillerson to be very busy over the coming months as Syria once again becomes a primary object of U.S. diplomacy in the Middle East. Now, James, we sort of begin this New World Next Week episode 296 with kind of a geopolitical double shot. The other story, both of which actually you've tweeted out, Obama killed 16-year-old American in Yemen. Trump just killed his 8-year-old sister. Now, this story is actually now sort of redeveloping, if you will, due to Trump just choppering over to Dover today to go view the body of slain Navy SEAL involved in this latest Yemen op. So not a huge surprise, James, that the geopolitical situation is looking like more of the same.
Not surprising to me at any rate. And let's not call it an op, let's call it a massacre for what it was. Dozens of civilians dead, including women and children, including that 8-year-old girl. And so all of the people who pretended to care when Obama killed that 16-year-old American boy, the son of Anwar al-Awlaki, who of course himself, that son was not guilty of anything, and people pretended to shed crocodile tears over it. And now they're going to say, well, Trump, he has to do this. It's just collateral damage. And they're going to go along with the script because it doesn't matter. They don't actually care about human lives. They just care about their political football. So for those of us who do care about human lives, no, this isn't surprising. And it is equally reprehensible whether it happens because someone with an R after their name or someone with a D after their name is president of the United States. On the Assad front, it is interesting, and just to clarify, let's make sure that we put this in there, the latest update, Sputnik had a post yesterday, who's trying to kill Syrian President Bashar Assad, that confirms that Assad did appear at a meeting of industrial leaders in Damascus on Tuesday, so he is alive, and he's not suffering from a stroke. But when those types of rumors start getting swirled around, very likely some sort of op and or psyop and or black op in the offing or already underway. And it does beg the question, I mean, that would be the easiest way out of this whole debacle for the U.S., right? I mean, wouldn't it be easier if Assad just suddenly dropped dead of natural causes? Hey, well, there you go. Problem solved. Assad's out of the way. So it does make you wonder. I mean, obviously, one would assume that assassination would be high on the list of things for secret ops in Syria to be doing, or to be trying anyway. So that's a whole other story that's probably playing out under the surface. But yes, anyway, safe zones in Syria all sounds great and wonderful. Tea and crumpets and giving people tents and, hey, come put your feet up. But what it actually means, of course, especially when Assad doesn't agree to it, is we're going to invade your country, carve out this space, call it a safe zone, and we're going to use that as a base to overthrow you. So mission as usual, business as usual when it comes to foreign policy so far.
So, James, since you're not really pulling any punches there, I'll not pull my punches and go ahead and actually say the joke I was going to say when Trump choppered over to Dover today. I was actually going to joke that he was just checking out and checking on the latest drug shipments coming in from overseas, because, of course, we know that that's how that rolls. It's going to be a little bit more technological on the rest of this New World Next Week episode as we jet on over to Austria. You may have seen the story, Austrian hotels' key cards repeatedly hacked. They were forced to pay a Bitcoin ransom. Now, as is the case in a lot of ways, you dig in, not quite as sensational as guests locked in their rooms as a lot of the headlines from a lot of the news agencies that are pointing all kinds of fingers about fake news. We actually dug in and looked in. It's not quite as sensational as people locked in their rooms. However, an Austrian hotel manager who went public with the fact that he'd been blackmailed four times into paying Bitcoin ransom to cybercriminals has been praised now for speaking out. The story of how hackers took control of the hotel's room locks ended up, of course, being reported all over the world. With relatively small amounts of money involved for most businesses that fall victim to the criminals, it's believed that thousands of firms are falling prey to these cyber criminals, but that they prefer to stay silent rather than suffer public embarrassment. But after the manager of the Romantique Sea Hotel Jägerwerth, a luxurious four-star hotel with a beautiful lakeside setting in Austria, was hit a fourth time by blackmailers, he decided to go public with what happened to warn others about the dangers. His hotel, like many others, has a modern IT system which includes key cards for hotel doors. And in the latest incident, cyber criminals had again hacked into his system and managed to take down the entire key system. The guests could no longer get into their hotel rooms, and new key cards couldn't be programmed. They did actually follow up and say, "We are planning at the next room refurbishment for old-fashioned door locks and real keys, just like 111 years ago at the time of our great-grandfathers." Not quite as far back as that, James. You can search, and we'll include this in the show notes. Of course, everything we say will be included down in the show notes. 4 years ago, over 4 years ago now, November 2012, Forbes and others reported on the hacker who cracked 4 million hotel rooms. All of this information is essentially out there. It's basically just playing out in real time now, James.
It certainly is, isn't it? And I guess there are two ways you could go to this type of problem, the problem of these hackers hacking into the key system and locking all the doors in the hotel. I guess one would be to go back to physical keys, you know, on a doorknob or whatever, so you don't steal the key, but there you go, an actual physical key to actually get you into the room, which, hey, it's pretty low-tech, and it works, and it's not hackable, and it doesn't cost much, and it doesn't, I mean, who's upset because they have a key? I mean, it's, what's the big deal? Or you could go even higher upgrade, and you could go biometric entry into your hotel room. They'll take your fingerprints when you check in so that only you and your fingerprints can get into the system and blah, blah, blah. I wonder which one's going to be pushed more heavily going forward. Anyway, but the other aspect of this story is, I wonder what they're going to try to demonize with a story like this. So these hackers steal, hack into the system, lock the doors, and demand payment in Bitcoin, because every time in human history that people have been blackmailed and forced to pay in cash, you saw people immediately saying, "It's cash! We have to abolish cash!" Or in the olden days, when people used to be blackmailed for gold and silver or whatever, "It's gold! We have to get rid of gold off the face of the planet because someone was blackmailed in that currency." No, of course not. That has never, ever, ever happened in history. But of course, now that it's Bitcoin that's being used as the monetary vehicle for this, oh my god, a type of thing that we don't have control over, let's shut it down. Criminals might use it. Terrorists might use it. I think we know how that story goes, and that's obviously where a lot of people are going to try to take this story as well. So although this story has exceptionally simple through line, an exceptionally simple narrative, replace it with keys. Problem solved. No, they're going to try to put in biometric entry into doors, and they're going to try to ban or outlaw Bitcoin because of this.
Well, and you know they're going to go for biometrics because you know what story I'm going to mention next. But you're exactly right. We've probably all been to some kind of bar, some kind of restaurant, or even some kind of convenience store, gas station, where you ask, "Can I use the bathroom?" And they hand you some gigantic thing. Here's a cinder block with a key on it, or spatula or some ridiculous thing that they know you're probably not going to walk away with. That's a nice low-tech solution. The high-tech solution, however, and a few relateds to this second segment story, NBA 2K game, basically a new one of them newfangled video games, they just won the right to store the players' biometrics in the game. Two players sort of realized, hey, wait, you're taking pictures of my face and inserting it into the game. Yeah, but you guys clicked agree on it, and that's essentially how the gamers won. You said yes, I agree to all of this. The only part they were kind of wiggling on was, yeah, we didn't tell you we were going to store it and keep it forever. Meanwhile, New York City is planning new facial recognition cameras at bridges and tunnels. We'll include an article that shows some of the ways to dodge them. And in the U.S. and the U.K., it works both ways. Secret rules make it pretty easy for the FBI to spy on journalists, and Reporters Saga gives glimpse of U.K. surveillance culture. Now, we get so many of our stories crowdsourced by you using hashtag New World Next Week, and I think that's what helps kind of make these episodes always looking forward as we try and do. I talked about it a little bit this morning on The Morning Monarchy. It is the hybrid zoo, introducing pig-human embryos for lab-grown organs. This via the Nature Journal. Scientists have published the first ever peer-reviewed account of creating pig-human hybrid fetuses, a step toward growing animals with organs that are suitable for transplantation into humans. The team that made these chimeras also reports the creation of mouse, rat, and human-cow hybrids on the 26th of January in Cell 1. Such modified animals could provide researchers with new models for testing drugs and understanding early human development. And of course, the scientists allowed the human-pig chimeras to develop for 3 to 4 weeks before destroying them, according to ethics regulations. Now, the Cell 1 is the journal that actually published this research. There is the PDF. It does not appear to be behind the paywall, so we will include that in the show notes. Interspecies chimerism with mammalian pluripotent stem cells. That's right, James. Man-pig, or pig-man, or hue-pig. Call it what you want.
Yeah, I guess that's the big debate that'll happen now. What should we call this monstrosity that we've created? Well, here we go, 2017. Are you all buckled in? Because this is where it's going. And I don't know, this is one of those stories, I don't know what the break is on this. Where is the break on this this particular vehicle? Because it's heading towards the brick wall at 100 miles an hour. And like so many other technologies, I guess theoretically, somehow, this could be used for good, but I have my misgivings about the ways that it's going to be used and who it's going to be used by and for what purposes. And oh yeah, I mean, let's not forget about all the other things that come when we start experimenting with crossing various species barriers, like the types of new strains of viruses that tend to pop up when things like that happen. But don't worry. Don't worry, they only let it develop 3 or 4 weeks. They destroyed it. You know, it's okay. It's all being carefully controlled and managed. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, don't worry about all that anthrax in the military labs. All those things they're working on, the Spanish flu they've resurrected, just no biggie. I think another interesting related, just to include as we start to wrap up this episode, asking the experts, of course. When they took away your incandescent light bulbs, they forgot to tell us that the alternatives would ruin our eyes. Unfortunately, it's not all bad, or rather, fortunately, it's not all bad. We've got the latest episode of Good News Next Week, which is my sort of spinoff from New World Next Week. Folks might remember back in 2015, you and I, James, both did, we included a good news story in each and every episode of New World Next Week through 2015. So then in 2016, I made it my own kind of spin-off episode, and the latest episode is up, and I call it And the Hits Just Keep on Coming, talking about new vinyl factories opening up. While that might seem like fluffy news, there is also very important news in there about the cannabis revolution and a little bit of pushback from we the people, I suppose. So, James, that is all I got for you there on New World Next Week this week.
You know, I think we need to bring back some sort of good news to New World Next Week, because it gets pretty bleak. But, hey, that's the world in 2017, right? And here we are covering it. So, thank you again for three stories. Looking forward to next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.